Channel 1 Right on a new reel and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie on Friday, the 26th of May, 72. Channel 1 Right on a new reel and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie this Friday, the 26th of May, 72. Channel 1 Right on a new reel and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie this Friday, the 26th of May, 72. Channel 1 Right on a new reel and a continuation of visit with Ms. Guthrie this Friday, the 26th of May, 72.
Marches them up.
When they don't need to.
That's right. If people haven't got anything to eat and they need it, I think it's all right to get a mess of quail or kill them up in a deer or something like that, because they don't put there for people to eat. But just to go out and haunt and kill and slay and destroy. Any here for the thing?
Oh, and that's a baby.
You reckon?
Isn't that a young one? Y'all, he's not the young one, but he's red. His head, the red comes all over his head.
Red bird sitting out there watching.
Yeah, now isn't that something?
Yeah, something. You know something, you know he could bite your finger off, that red bird. I wouldn't catch him for nothing.
Yeah, you? They've got those big bills.
One got in the front porch one time, and I caught him. And you know I had to kill that bird to get him to turn loose my hand.
It really?
He liked to bit my finger off.
Oh, that beak is so big.
He's got more power in there than.
I'll bet he could whittle on you too.
Yeah, you might.
With that long beak.
He sure
beak.
Could.
That long beak. Well, you know. Now, Louise is not going to sell our house over here.
She said not. I said, what you going to do with it? She said, I'm just going to close it up. Now, some of his people is living in the house at the river.
White's people.
Uh-huh. Is living in their house at the river. Uh-huh. See, she has to have it insured. And she has to have somebody in the house. You can't just shut up a house and go off and leave it and not have it insured.
Yeah.
Oh.
They don't want to insure it. Okay. Well, how long you been insuring your house?
I got my house insured.
Huh?
My house is not insured.
Let me see. I can remember when we started insuring the house. It wasn't too long ago. We never insured those.
You know, insurance is going up.
Yeah.
Did you hear the 6 o'clock news? I think it was the day before yesterday. About President Nixon being in Russia. We showed the picture of him and the Russian people, and he signed an agreement that the Russians build a spaceship to go to the moon, and the United States is going to build the spaceship to go to the moon. And up yonder in the air, they're going to come together. Showed the picture of it. And the Russians and the United States people is going to the moon together. And there's a hallway that they can walk back and forth. And say nothing about ending the war and none. Senator Goldwater and another senator made a speech and said that he's already sold out the United States. Said he just as well to sold it out. He said they said there wasn't nothing in the world to hinder the Russians from launching a ship in here or coming in here doing anything they want to. Now that's what Senator Goldwater and that other senator said.
Yeah. But they're gonna link up out there in space and go to the
gonna link up out there in space and go to the moon. It showed the picture and how they was gonna do it. No, now he's done signed an agreement, President Nixon, to the Russians.
Well, now I saw that picture, but I didn't read what it said about it.
Well, they told all about it and showed Senator Goldwater's picture and the other senator, I can't remember his name, and they very dissatisfied with it. They said he has just sold out the United States to the Russians.
What's Miss D's name?
Lily Bell.
Now, is she just spoofing when she said she wasn't convinced that they'd actually been to the...
No, she don't believe it.
Well, she had so much to go on.
Well, now, we were coming in last Sunday evening, was a week ago, from my brother's, and we had to stop at Micanopy gas station and get us some gas, and one of the whole boys was out there, and he told Martin, he said, I want you to come get you a mess of peas. And he said, make it the end of last week or the first. So we didn't ever go till not before last. Martin said, let's go over to Cicero's and see if he has got any peas. Maybe we'll buy some. Oh, he didn't have but two or three little short roads. And he got to talking about it, and he said, I sure don't believe they ever been there.
Yeah, but I can't remember her name.
Lily Bell.
I can't, yeah. But she had all that to go on. You see, the boy had been out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, they showed the picture of it where they... On the TV where they go out there in the desert and they do these things. Well, it looks just like the moon.
Just like the moon. That's where they... Yeah. Well, I forget what it was and all this... I kind of forget what you said. This weightless, you know... What was that?
That's when
I told Faye when I got back. That time Rick went over. I went over to Rick.
They could do that just out there and where they are.
How'd she figure they did that weightless side of it? We'll have to get her on that again.
She had it figured out, didn't she?
And blow up them space suits with air.
That's right.
That's right, and then you just sort of float around.
Upside down, everything.
Well, you know, they show the pictures, and it says simulation of the moon. And it looks just like the moon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I sure don't know.
Well, I was just going down to turn Pappy off for the day. I don't leave him out, you know, all the time. He gets over there at the fence and gets the point of holes and spends his energy with them other bulls.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring him in. And after he gets up there, you see, I give him a little handout. And he'll just leave the whole shebang and come along with me.
That's the funniest thing I ever saw. This big old bull marching away from the herd.
Yeah, they're coming on back up here, isn't it?
That's the way our bull does with the Hogan's. He's got a great big old Burma bull. And I didn't know he had him in that.
Oh.
And when Lily Bell was there, I could see him, you know, whirl around and throw up his head. And I couldn't see my bull. I didn't see my bull, didn't have no idea my bull was over there. And he kept on, and when Lily Bell was watching him, and I said, you know, he must be tangled up in some water. We got in the truck and went down there, and he had my bull, and he just take his nose and just knocked my little old bull around any way he wanted to. I said to Lily Bell, get over there and get my bull out. She says, I just damn sure ain't going over there. Said, why don't you go get him? I said, I'm scared. And I teased her about that. I said, I thought you'd come to help me. And the first thing I asked you to do, you just stood up and told me you weren't going to. She don't care what she says.
But if she's good company, is Louise?
Yeah, if she just didn't talk so bad.
Well, you just too polite.
Louise has always got something on her mind.
Mm-hmm. Always. And always up doing something. Yeah. Going somewhere.
I don't think she'll stay up there forever. You mean she sold out her stuff?
No, no.
She's got her home.
Oh, yeah. She's got her home over there. Tell you the truth, I don't believe she can sell it. I don't think she can sell her home unless the kids agrees to it.
Oh, I see.
Or I believe that'd go too.
Oh, really?
I do.
You mean she's that in that frame of mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andrew, you had to be careful the way you talk to him. You don't know him much, do you?
Not too much.
But you think his mama could deal with him all right?
Well, he didn't want her to get married.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, that would complicate it. And why did Ken handle it?
Mm-mm.
Andrew don't talk much, does he?
I don't know much about Andrew.
Well, I don't know anybody who does. I just know him a little bit in passing.
You know, they told the biggest tales on that boy. When Zane Hogan's first bought that place up there by us, he had Andrew over there doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
And Zane Hogan's told me and Marvin, I don't know how many times, that people went to him and told him that women would come up there in the car and they would get Andy. And they go off and be gone all day long. And he didn't do the work. And he asked me about it. And I said, let me tell you something. I don't know a thing in the world about that. And I don't believe near a word of it. I don't believe near a word of that, so.
Yeah.
I don't no more believe that than I know I don't believe it. Said he'd always have a woman to come pick him up.
Yeah. He just tell tales on
him. Mm-hmm. I sure don't believe it.
Yeah.
Y'all get up and go on and do what you want to do.
Yes, I go out there and...
You do the same.
I'm not doing anything. I'm going to visit with Mother a little while.
I was going out there and...
You're
going to
let the bull out, though. Let's go in Mother's room. Because it's just so much fun to have it.
I thought maybe she would come and...
Well, she'll be here. I'll bet. See what Mother's doing.
I have up until right recently.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd let my yard rest, you know, and then buy me some biddies and raise them. I want to get equipped for it. I don't want them in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. You got a place for them.
That woodpecker can eat the most.
Have you ever seen anything?
Take the bite and then look to the right. Ms. Miles, you ought to put your trimmings out there.
That's right.
Off of your couch.
No, she takes those to a horse.
Oh, she does?
Mm-hmm. She gives that to a horse. Mm-hmm. You don't have a horse, do you?
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, you got two? Did you ever ride?
Yes, ma'am. I used to ride.
I don't guess you do now, do you?
No, ma'am. I haven't rode in years.
Used to ride around the farm.
Used to ride the lake. Look after the cattle.
The cattle. Mm-hmm. Do you ever keep a farm dog? That,
yes, ma'am.
That would herd your cattle?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't have one now, do you?
No, ma'am, we don't.
Oh, we have some.
Drink. Well,
are those trees real hard to cut in, the palm trees to get these?
Not too hard.
What size would you get you in this home?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, he's going to it. Look at his bill.
What's on? Well, does one little big plant, does that make a pretty good size?
Yes, ma'am.
A seed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've eaten a salad down the street too.
You know, I had the recipe that the Sea Island Motel put out at Syracuse for that palm salad.
Oh, you did?
But I don't like it.
Oh, you don't?
And oh, man, that's expensive.
Yeah, I know it
and
is.
And some of the stuff you can't even find in the store.
Oh.
And,
Well, they just keep it there. It's something they make themselves and have down there.
I really don't know where they do get the spices that it calls for.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make good salad, but I like to take it just and cut it real good and fine and put a little onion in it or some mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's real good.
Just that.
Just, I don't
that
like all that stuff.
All that
they put
extra
in
spice.
You can't taste the
cabbage.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's the one that put raisins and pineapple in it?
That's right, raisins and pineapple and a certain kind of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell you the spices that goes in it. And green food coloring. And what in the world did anybody want to put
green
food coloring in small cabbage for? It makes them look dirty.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that is
and dates.
Oh, the
put
dates. Well, Lord mercy, it's not swamp swamp salad then much, is it?
Well, you could put anything in, and you wouldn't have to put.
Well, I'd be like you. I'd just make it like it, just put it upright fine and put
a little onion and mayonnaise,
and
it's
mayonnaise
just pretty and white.
These bees down here, and they do make honey. You know, the fella is just downright simple-minded if he don't have no bees.
Well, I'm simple-minded then, because I don't want none on my place.
You don't even want them. Don't you like honey?
I like honey, but I don't like the bees.
Well, let me tell you, they get a hold of me.
They eat me up, and I don't like to be stung.
But they don't bother Miss Fairmore. I don't go around them. He got all them bees down there. And
well,
now
if he's
then,
the one that's got them all them hives in our pasture.
That's all you got out here.
I'm scared of them from them. They eat me up.
What was y'all talking about? Oh, swamp cabbage. Mm-hmm. He said he wanted to come out and get some swamp cabbage. And I told him to have yourself. If any of them little cabbage trees he could find. There was plenty of them. Never could find one, sir.
Where is he from?
He lives up in town, you see. He's the principal, if that's what they call it, of that little school over there where we live. He's the principal. But they have a little town, you see. And he's a country. He's a country fellow. It's hard, you know. I thought while he's out here, I just cut a little hickory tree. See if we could let it season a little bit and get some axe handles in one thing or another.
He said he wanted any trouble to make some axe handles.
Axe handles?
Hmm. Sounds
good.
It's not.
No.
People used to make all the hoe handles and all the axe handles and plow stocks. I seen my Uncle John make a many a plow stock. People used to didn't buy all such stuff as that.
Well, I just can't eat all
that's
the bread.
Too much bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit too much of everything.
Yeah, you give us too much of everything.
That's good.
Well,
want to fat myself.
Yeah, instead of taking it off me.
Well, not much. It doesn't tide you over till you get to your husband.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna be lonesome.
Yeah.
Best playmate I've got.
I'll be lonesome too because she's pays more attention to me than the others do.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I run around here.
I heard about y'all dressing up and going out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been.
She takes me out all the time.
Miss Miles?
He's been working on that bathroom.
I want to tell you something before I go.
You ain't gone.
Yeah, I got to go pretty soon. You know poor old George Fairbanks?
Yeah.
He's about finished.
What happened to
him? Oh, he's just sick. Marvin told me. He called me Monday or Tuesday, I believe it was. Him and Rob Roy wanted me to go down and see about him. Rob said something happened to him that night, and he's been awful poorly. And I went down, and some of them said that he had a pistol, and then he was liable to shoot me. And I said, oh, George ain't going to shoot me. And I went to the door, and I called him, and he come and leaned up against the door. His beard is all growed out, and he's just as white as the sheriff's paper. I told him Marvin and Rob was uneasy about him and wanted me to go down and see about him, and I asked him, was there anything I could do or fix for him or carry him to the doctor or anything? He said no. I don't know how he's getting along now.
He really had a time of it, didn't he?
George.
He just never learned to do anything?
He never did have anything to do. He never had anything to do in his life. Only just what he had to do. What he wanted to do.
How'd you live on? Did he have plenty?
His mother used to live down there where he's at. And she had a nice home. And Mr. Guthrie always said he was there when Mr. Fairbanks was living there, and George's Aunt Kate. Mr. Fairbanks' sister never was married. And Mr. Guthrie said that she left money here for Mr. Fairbanks to live on. Well, then when Mr. Fairbanks died, Miss Fairbanks and Laura and George was to be taken care of the rest of their life, that they got so much a month to live on, mm-hmm. and the principle of the money was never to be touched, that they was to live off of the interest of this money. Well, Mr. Bryce, Vincent Bryce, not Vincent Bryce, but Mr. Vincent Bryce's daddy was their guardian. He was to look out after him. Well, Miss Fairbanks, then she died, George's mother. And it fell to Laura and to George. Mr. Bryce was to take care of George and the place and keep up the taxes. And he let the taxes go, the place go for taxes. And Mrs. Rollins, it was fixed between Mr. Bryce and Mrs. Rollins. Mrs. Rollins went in and paid the taxes and gave Snow Slater the deeds. That's how Snow got the place. Gives Snow the deeds. And I didn't know anybody else knowed it but me and Marvin. But there was a fella I called him. I called Mr. Kent. And told him about George. And he told me all this. Somebody else had told him about it.
Well, you already knew it.
This Mr. Kent already knew it. See, I didn't tell him, but he up and told me all this. And I said, well, that's exactly the way it was, because I was sharing, Marlon was sharing, Mr. Guthrie was sharing. And I said, if Mr. Guthrie was living, he could tell you a whole lot more about it, how it was, than I could, because he knew, because he set up with George's daddy.
Yeah.
And Miss Fairbanks had a beautiful home down there.
Now, it was Miss Fairbanks, George's mother, that had the money.
No, it was George's aunt, Kate. Well, she left the money here for the Fairbanks, these Fairbanks.
His aunt Kate is the one who had the money.
That's right. Mr. Fairbanks died. Well, then it was all to go to Miss Fairbanks, and she had two children, Laura and George. George Fairbanks never did know what it was to wear a patched shirt or to go dirty. He wore his starched and ironed clean clothes every day just like it was on Sunday. He wore his new boots and a new hat. And he was taken care of. Miss Fairbanks had plenty. She raised chickens. And she had a big, nice two-story home. Well, Laura, see, she had was grown and married, and she left here. Well, when Miss Fairbanks died, then Laura was to get so much a month and George so much a month. George, we had George down there in the Jackson place taking care of him. And I told George, George's money stopped. I said, George, get on the, write your sister a letter and see what she can do about it. And Laura wrote back to George and said, you talk about your money being stopped. She said, I ain't seen no money in years. And somebody got that money. Somebody got George's money and Laura's money, and they lost the place.
Where did Miss Fairbanks get that place?
That place? Well, from Mr. Fairbanks. Maybe her Aunt Kate got it through her.
Yeah.
Because she lived down there.
But first you knew, Aunt Kate was gone.
Aunt Kate was gone and Mr. Fairbanks was gone, but Miss Fairbanks was here.
Oh,
and they had, I won't tell you what happened, they had a, just right recently, they come up, somebody asked George where was his mother buried. They was taking up a record of the cemetery over at Island Grove. George said his mother was buried in Georgia. I said, uh-uh. I said, no, Miss Fairbanks weren't buried in Georgia. And, well, maybe it was Mr. Fairbanks or maybe it was Miss Fairbanks. I said, no, it wasn't. Mr. Fairbanks and Miss Kate was dead and buried before I ever come to this part of the country. And I said, I never seen Laura Fairbanks but one time in my life. And it was when Miss Fairbanks was buried. I said, Miss Fairbanks was in Georgia staying with Laura, and Laura Miss Fairbanks come back home, and I went down to see Miss Fairbanks and spent a half day with Miss Fairbanks, and she had George to go out and gather me a whole lot of oranges and grapefruit and tangerines and put them in my old Model T car. No. George said she was buried in Georgia, and that's final. I said, I know good and well she was not, because I seen Laura and Laura's husband and two little children. They come to the funeral, and that's the only time I ever seen her. Well, the other day Laura come down, and they asked her, where was her mother buried? She says she's buried at Island Grove. And everybody in Island Grove said I lied, that she weren't buried out there. And I said, I know good and well I was. I told Miss Grace Williams, I said, I was at the funeral. And I know.
Oh, no, no, no.
It was somebody else. If I said, I don't know, well, weren't I? Ain't that crazy. She was buried at Island Grove because she died in Newbury with her sister, Miss Johnson. And they carried her to Island Grove. Well, George said she was buried in Georgia. I said, I don't care what George said, she was buried in Island Grove. So Laura said the other day, come down and said, Mother's buried at Island Grove.
Well, how come her down here?
Who?
Laura.
Laura come down here to see about George. Somebody sent for her to come, try to get him to go home with her. And Laura's a nice person.
Oh, is she?
She is. They tell me that she was a Sunday school teacher. She was a music teacher. And anybody will tell you, Laura Fairbanks is a nice woman. She's real nice. Mr. Guthrie, I didn't know her, but Mr. Guthrie said she was really nice. He used to go to church with her. He used to go to dances with her. And he said she was a nice woman. She had a good education. And Miss Fairbanks had a beautiful home, two-story house. Had a big piano sitting in the hall that belonged to Laura. And she had flowers and chickens. And she was a nice woman.
Well, George didn't help her do it.
He didn't have to.
Oh, she had help.
Well, George was there, and they didn't have to work for a living. It was already piled up for them.
And there was plenty of help then.
George fished. Miss Fairbanks had a colored man, a noble-legged colored man. He went around with George. Showed George where he wanted to go. And he kept the yard. George, he fished a little bit. He didn't have to work. He had plenty laid up for him, but it was just took away from him because he was, after Miss Fairbanks left, because he was dumb.
He just had no no business sense. He had no business about him.
You know where he's living now? He's living in his mother's chicken house. Been living there for years.
Oh. With a dirt floor.
With a dirt floor. I asked Ella Mae some time ago, I said, Ella Mae, why don't y'all let him move in that little house where Henry used to live? No, no. Then stay out there where he's at. Well, he's living in the chicken house right behind this little house. Snow built this little house for his brother to live in, and his brother's been dead for years. I'd be ashamed of myself.
But he lived well for a while.
He did. He had it good for a while.
As long as his mama lived.
Miss Miles, I don't believe I could do
they
it.
They don't give her all. Oh, she don't have to eat all this.
I just sliced her a little.
I don't believe I can eat it.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's I love it. That's Dr. Toomey.
I know it's good. I'll eat a bite, but I can't eat all of it.
Just put a
lot of
what you got.
Golly. Don't that make your mouth water to think how well they did live? While they did live.
Mr. Bryce was supposed to pay them taxes on that place, see? And him and Ms. Rollins got together and they let it run over and the place sold for taxes. And that Snow, it was handed to him out on a platter. Ms. Rollins went and got it and gave Snow the deeds. And he don't even have to pay any taxes on it. It never paid a penny of taxes. Because it ain't valued over $5,000.
Yeah.
And you talking about people going to church?
You set by him.
You have to.
That's right. When I go. I tell you one thing, it's like Mr. Guthrie said. Mr. Guthrie said before he left here that there's many one of setting their name in the corner that wouldn't be sitting there in their judgment. Did you know you have to give an account for things that you do here on earth?
Sure, it should.
I used to come around your house several years before Mr. Guthrie died. I drove out a long time before he died. He was poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I wish somebody had just took me in there and let me talk to him though.
I got into it the other day. And I told the one that said what they did to me, I said, "You mean to tell me that I never done nothing for nobody around here?" "No, not that I know of." I said, "Do you remember who took out their pocketbook and handed Marvin the money when your daddy died? Do you remember who put his tombstone out there?" I said, "Then when Mr. Townsend died," I said, "do you remember who kept up Miss Townsend's insurance?" I said, "She didn't have but a little $125 worth." But I said, "Do you remember who kept it up till she died?" And I said, "The night that y'all come and told Marvin that she was dead, do you remember who took out the pocketbook and handed Marvin the money and said, 'Marvin, you go put your mother away, and if you need any more, you get it?'" And then I said, "Do you remember who bought her tombstone? Do you remember you come here raising the devil to my house and I was the first one that handed you a $10 bill? And I said, when your Uncle Ben died, I said, do you remember my husband pulling out his pocketbook and saying, 'Here, Marvin, here's money to buy him a tombstone?' I said, and then you come here and tell me such as that?"
They just didn't know any better? Yes, they knew better.
They knew. They know it. Marvin told me, he said, "You best wait." He said, "My days are coming, and when I get there," he said, "then everybody's going to know it."
Marvin said that?
Yeah. He's the one called me. Him and Rob called me and asked me to go down and see about George, because Rob was afraid he had died that night and wanted to know how he was getting along. And I got a blessing out about it. But Marvin said, "You just wait. They're going to give a big blowout Saturday down at Rollins Park, giving a shower. I ain't going to be there. And Sunday night, they're going to give a big shower. I ain't going to be there. I'm done."
Oh, you'll be there.
I won't. No, sorry, indeed I won't. I am absolutely finished.
Well, I've heard you say that before.
Is it from the church?
Ma'am?
Is it a church affair or what?
Well, the church is going to be out there.
I see.
And all across Greek people, but I'm going to be there. And Marvin's not going to be there. I told Marvin, I said, now that's your family. And if you want to go, you go. But just leave me out because I ain't going. I'm not going to be there. You believe I'll be there, you go down there and come by my house and stop and see if I'm down there.
All right.
It'll be at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock when?
Saturday afternoon.
This Saturday? Next Saturday?
This Saturday.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
This is a town thing.
That's right. Richard's going to get married and they're giving him a shower.
Oh.
You know what they mad at me about? When Leroy went to get married, Leroy come by. I come to buy 5 acres of land. I said, Leroy, I said, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sell you the whole 155 acres. But I said, I made Mr. Guthrie a promise before he left here that I would never cut off another piece and set it. And I can't do it. You know what he thought I'd do? I'd give him, you know, you can't sell no less than 5 acres. And he thought that I'd let him have 5 acres of land for about $50.
Yeah.
So they all mad at me about it.
Yeah.
And they can all get glad because I ain't going to sell it to nobody.
Let me tell you what, I never realized this. But this fellow up here at the office, and he's done things for me just steady. One little thing after another. And I sat in the office the other day, and I thought to myself, well, this dead burned booger, I can't even get in his office anymore. And it come to me. You know, somebody can just befriend you for 10 years, and then if they slip up on one, they just treat you like you they didn't even know you.
That's right.
Just one time.
That's right.
And if I saw it, all right, I bet you I could think where I had done that same thing, maybe in a number of times.
Well, there ain't no use for me to sit down and tell anybody what I've done because they wouldn't believe it. But when Dr. Daly was at Micanopy, Jimmy Daly's daddy, and Dr. Sherhouse was at Campville, when a woman had a baby, they sent for me. I went around with Dr. Daly and I helped him. I went around with Dr. Sherhouse and I helped him, and I never didn't get a thank you for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I taken care of the mother and the baby for 9 days. And now when I get sick, they don't know me. They don't even know me. That Louise Boltnight that lives right up there between my place and Ms. Dodd's. I was with her with every baby that she had, and I taken care of her and the baby, all except the last one. Shucks, she wouldn't even go to my funeral if I was buried today. And it ain't nothing that I've done to them. They just don't need me anymore.
Oh, that's it.
They just don't need me anymore.
Now, that's George's wife.
George Boltnight's wife. It ain't a thing in the world because I ain't done nothing for nobody and I ain't hurt nobody, but they just don't need me anymore because it's just come to the time that they don't need me anymore.
Yeah, well, now the last one is this little girl, she's just a child.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, they didn't need you then. They could take care of that themselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's a beautiful little girl,
isn't
she? And that little red-headed girl across the street, is that Faye's girl?
That's right.
Yeah. Both of them. Just charming. I saw them over Miss Dodd
Was that there George Spotnight's sister that got in trouble? They run her, George Spotnight run her off from home, and she come to my house. And she stayed for months before the baby was born. And the baby was born right in my front room on my bed. And I taken her, and I taken care of her, and I kept her baby for 6 long years. And I taken care of him just like he was mine. And she come there and took him away from me. And she, did she go to Mr. Guthrie's funeral? No. Did she ever come back to see him when he was sick? No. She didn't have no more use for us. Wasn't anything that we had done. We had just done her a good deed.
Now, that was George's sister.
George's sister.
And she still lives around here somewhere.
It lives in Gainesville. Well, I see her at Winn-Dixie every once in a while.
Just shopping?
Mm-hmm.
What's your name now?
Annie Melvin. She just don't need me. She got all the service out of me that she needed.
Yeah.
And she don't have nothing else for me to do.
Yeah, that, oh, that must have, she must have had a time back there when George drove her off. That must have been something.
George's wife was going to have a baby too. That was Faye. And when Faye was born, why, they didn't need any. And they put her out of doors.
Yeah, that old creek's been sort of rough, amongst other things, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It sure has.
And you've seen it.
I've seen it. Mr. Guthrie told me, he told that time and time again. You know where River Styx is? Well, he said that there was a colored man, and his name was called, I can't think of his first name, but his other name was Murray. And they had a posse out after him to kill him. And he said anything could be done in Hawthorne that was done, or Palatka, McNopia, or Ocala, or Rochelle, Gainesville, or anywhere. He done it. Murray done it. His last name was Murray. And he lived in River Styx Swamp for a long, long time. And they had out reward, you know, for the one that killed him. And somebody killed him and said when they killed him, he didn't have a thing in the world in him but watermelon seed. Now, can you imagine that?
Just been living on one.
Just been living on watermelon seed. Mr. Guthrie's told it a million and many a time.
He knew about it.
Yeah, he knew about it. And I think that he was dressed in had on a dress when he was killed.
Did you ever know this fella Duncan over there at McNopia?
Mm-hmm. Used to be a deputy sheriff or something. Yeah, I knew. Sure did.
Now, he was hard on him.
Mm-hmm.
somebody told me, this has been a long time ago, and I don't know whether I got it straight or not. Somebody told me that he was brought up here.
He was?
For that purpose. To keep the blacks in place.
Keeps what?
Keep the niggers in their place.
Do you know, you don't know where the old Stokes place is, do you?
No.
Well, you know where the drugstore, Dr. Daly's drugstore used to be? Coming right on out.
Yes.
There was a fellow there that owned a big two-story house on the right, and I don't know anything about this other, but they said right down were blacksmith shop. This here fella on the blacksmith shop. I remember Mr. Stokes, and I remember the little old dwelling there, and Mr. Guthrie used to tell me that they'd kill the niggers there and hang them on under them oak trees. Break the necks. Now, you know, ain't that something?
I don't know how old Coleman survived, but apparently they never even got after him.
Well, he always tended to his own business.
Well,
his daddy was sure, you know.
Yeah.
His daddy spent his lifetime here. Yeah. Uncle Wade died right there where Coleman's house is, lying on the porch. That was Uncle Wade's place. But I'm talking about niggers, you know, that was, or anybody that was arrested, you know, for anything that is death, you know, called for death, why they done it right there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, ain't that your assumption?
They had to behave themselves then. They had to sort of get off to the pavement of the sidewalk.
Miss Miles, that was a good lunch. Haven't you got to go to work?
Well, it's a while.
You get up and go on.
I'm not in any hurry.
Yeah, now you see what happens to your friend up there. That's the way she does out here. She calls out here and she says, I'm going to be out there. I don't know when she's going to be here. She may be here in an hour, or she may be here at the end of the day.
We'll have to get on her about that.
They are totally unreliable. But I'm telling you what I do. I break that cup pair in on milking. And while they're here...
Heck, they don't come out there together.
I'd get them out there.
I can't.
That's possible.
Yeah, but they ought to be some use to us around here, Mary.
Well, they ought to learn a little something while they're here,
yeah,
right?
That's right. I'm not going to do it. Stack these over here.
Did you want me to watch this?
No.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going so you can get ready and get going.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have to do a little celebrating.
I'll start to put the...
When Marvin gets used to being off of work, off of the university, he won't be off of work, will he?
No, ma'am.
He'll be working.
He sure will. Yeah. He sure will.
You said anymore? No, honey.
Good.
No, I'm just glad I don't have six or seven of them to put up with. Let somebody else do that. Yeah, Lordy.
Yeah, you know, good and well. No, so I think it'd be a little bit too much to try to bring up young ones now.
Yeah.
Sure would.
Well, you know, Suzanne is one of the sweetest children that you ever ran into, you see. And but she can't move. She can't get there.
I'll tell you what I think. You see, these young couples are pretty much tied down. You
mm-hmm.
see, she feels like she's got to be there to put the food on the table. Now, you see, I never did put the food on the table for Faye, or she never put it on for me, I mean. And I could go off there, we could try them. And she didn't run anything about that. But she can't do that. You got to get there. And it's I don't know, it's they sort of tie each other down.
Well, it's like this. I always try to have, unless it's something that it's inconvenient for me to do, I have supper ready for Marvin when he comes in. But heck, if there's something that I want to do before I fix that food, I do it.
Yes, yes.
And same way with this lunch hour, if he is at home.
Yes. Well, it's awful hard. It's awful hard for I don't know. They're so young. Now, I don't think it's Suzanne. I think it's the boy. You know, you'd think he'd have buddies over there where they'd go out and run around and have lunch together, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he ever has lunch with anybody.
He don't.
I don't think he does. You got a curious sort of thing.
Well, I'm going and let you all go to work.
Well, we sure have enjoyed this visit.
We sure have, Miss Mary.
Mama needed this because she needs to check in with you again.